And open your Bibles to Numbers, chapter 9, if you like. Follow along. Numbers 9, 15 through 23. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses.
This is the word of the Lord. Did you get the point? Where you go, I'll go. Where you lead, I will follow. When you don't move, I won't move. The question that I have heard probably more than any other in 35, 40 years of ministry is not, how can I get to heaven? Believe it or not, that's not the question I've heard most. The one I hear most is, how do we walk with God? Or how do I walk with God? How do I do that? People will come, I've trusted Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that when I die, I will be with him. But how am I supposed to do it day by day? And it usually comes out of a frustration that no one, they seem to think no one's ever told them how to do it. Has anybody else ever experienced that? You just wish, it's like, how am I supposed to do this? And you can actually let down your guard and admit, I have no idea how I'm supposed to walk with God day by day. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hands on that one. But it's really, I'm just gonna give you the simple statement. He leads and we, he leads and we follow. That's, should I stop now? Because that's really it. But I think we need to get to a couple of how-tos. And so we're just going to move quickly through our passage this morning. The first thing is we recognize his presence since he is with us. The Israelites came out of Egypt. It was quite the slaughter. Israelites came out. Nighttime, so how did they know God was with him? There was a fire. There was a pillar of fire there. And in the daytime, how did they know God was with them? There was a cloud. And I don't know how frequently you've been in the desert apart from Fresno, but if you've ever been in another desert, you know that when you're in the desert, what is lacking above our heads? Clouds. It's bright and it is hot. And if you're in the high desert at night, those of you who have camped at Camp Ottav at different times, how does it feel at night? A little chilly, isn't it? I don't think it's a coincidence that God led by day with a cloud and a fire at night. If we're going to walk with God day by day, we need to recognize that he is with us. He is with us. And so how? Stay under the cloud. Stay under the cloud. You know what the cloud is in your life, or maybe it'll take a little time to think, how is God protecting you? How is he protecting you from just sort of the normal things that would make life difficult for you? How is he doing it right now? In the same way that a cloud would cover the Israelites just from the normal heat of the desert, how is God protecting you? Stay under that cloud. It might be your family. It might be a prayer partner. It might be a colleague at work, or if you're a student, it might be a teacher or a professor. For some of you, this gathering right here is your cloud. You can't wait to come on Sundays because you know that in this place, with these people, you're covered. So we've got to stay under the cloud. But you've also want to be asking the question, what does it mean to stay close to the fire? And I think that's the encouragement that we find, that God provides. What is it that he is providing for you that encourages you? What's he doing in your life right now that is providing you with courage, enabling you to stand firm for him? Now, some of you are thinking, nothing. And again, we got to back up to, we have to recognize his presence because he is with us. So what's the cloud and what's the fire that he is providing in your life where you are right now? Maybe write that down on the back of your bulletin. Just go ahead, open that up and write it down. What's the cloud and what's the fire in your life right now? Because you won't be able to walk with God if you don't recognize that he is with you. And that's his promise. That's not something I'm making up. That's one of the most repeated promises in the scripture. I will be with you. Remember Jesus' nickname, Emmanuel? What's that? Emmanuel, God with us. That's his promise. He is with us. And the question is, what's the cloud and what's the fire in your life? The second thing that comes out from this passage most clearly is that we wait for his guidance since he's unpredictable. Did you catch that? He might be there a day. He might be there 2 or 3 days. He might be there a month. We don't know the when of how God does things. And this is just a warning to those of us who can somehow feel that we've got God wired or we've got our little formula set up. Please don't do that, because I don't know if it's his intention. I don't know if he enjoys it. But it sure seems like he likes blowing up our predictions. And the moment we think we know exactly what he's going to do, it feels like we're looking the other direction. So let's just let God be God. If he wants to stay one day, if he wants to stay 2 hours, our job is to wait for his guidance. And it's funny. You walk with God by waiting. Yep. You walk with God by waiting. They waited more than they traveled. This is coming up in the next several weeks. But does anyone know how long they were in the desert between Egypt and the Promised Land? 40 years. Who's older than 40 years old? Who's 40 and older here? Can you imagine going nowhere for 40 years? Some of you are like, yeah, that's my life. Anyway, please don't go there. Don't go there. But 40 years, they waited more than they walked. And it may be in your life that God is going to make you wait. He's going to make you wait so you will begin to recognize his presence more clearly, so that the cloud and the fire become more clear to you. It's like, aha, that's what's going on. And there's this sense of constant preparation. I mean, if you read that, can you imagine? Okay, the cloud is here. Okay, kids, let's set up the tent. Okay, the tent is set up. Oh, let's get, oh, we're going now. Wait a minute, we just got here. Yep, we're going now. Okay, and you do that several times, and then you settle in, but you don't unpack. But this time you stay a month, 2 months. What do you do while you're waiting? How do you wait for God in that in-between? And I think I got something new this week. We just went from Exodus and we jumped into Numbers. Do you know what's in between Exodus and Numbers in your Bible? It's the book that has probably knocked you out anytime you've tried to read through the Bible in a year. Leviticus. And if you've ever read Leviticus, you probably have a heavy sigh. It's like, oh boy, we're not going to go to Leviticus right now. We're almost done with the worship service. Really, Greg? Are we really going to take... We're not going to read through Leviticus. But you know what Leviticus is? I really believe Leviticus is there providentially because when we're waiting on God, we need to learn his ways. And we need to learn to enjoy him. When we're waiting, we need to learn his ways and we need to learn to enjoy him. Leviticus is a list of over and over again, all the different sacrifices that we make, all the different offerings. And frequently those offerings are not just expressions of gratitude, they're expressions of confession. They're expressions of repentance. They're expressions of fellowship with God. God, this is who I am. And instead of kicking you out of the camp, instead of saying you don't get to walk with me anymore, he has provided a way for us to experience his forgiveness. And that's what I'm calling learning to enjoy him. Do you enjoy the forgiveness of God? Too frequently, I come to God in confession with a downcast, rolled shoulders, feeling like a failure, feeling like a loser, feeling the absolute opposite of holiness. And I'm slowly learning that God is saying, lift up that chin. You're my son. Lift up your face. Look me in the eyes, so to speak. Look at me. My arms are open. I've provided a way, and I don't have to bring a lamb or a goat or a heifer when I come in need of forgiveness. How do we come? Based on the blood of Jesus Christ, we have an advocate who's saying, come on, get up, come on. He does not want us to wait around sulking in our guilt. He's saying, come. And that's what we're going to do in just a moment. So while we're waiting for him, let's experience the gift of the Scriptures, whether it's Leviticus or anywhere in Scripture. Let's learn his ways and let's enjoy him. Let's come to him and receive the good gifts that he has for us. And finally, we follow his lead. We follow his lead since he commands obedience. You heard how many times Barbara read command, and when they set out. He commanded, and then the cloud lifted, and they set out, or they waited. God commands our obedience. It's not an option. It's not for the really strong Christians. They obey, but the rest of us, we're just sort of, yeah. No, we wait when he waits. We follow when he moves. And that's the only way to walk with Christ. This afternoon, we go to the Armenian home, and it was about a year and a half ago. One of the women who was in the Armenian home shouted out, "Trust and obey," because I would ask, "What song would you like to sing?" "Trust and obey, trust and obey," and so she became the trust and obey lady. Well, she passed. And so the next time, I said, we're going to sing Trust and Obey. You know how that goes, right? Trust and obey, for theirs. But to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's the way, that's God's plan. That's not unpredictable. That's his plan. And then I think he shows us a how, a couple points for how too, is that we stay together. Badvali Mughal last week talked about how the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle, was in the center of the children of Israel's camp. And when they set out, they always went east with Judah going, and they would set out, then another set of three would go out, then the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle would go out, the Levites would do it, then two more sets of three of the tribes, and they would march out. They would march out. They had to stay together to stay in the camp. To walk with God, to obey, we've got to stay together. We don't want anybody going solo. No one going solo. Jane gave a wonderful testimony of being a part of the Celebrant Singers. I bet I could ask, and half of you could come forward with a testimony not nearly as positive about the times you went out by yourself. Not on a mission, but when you set out and said, I'm just going to walk me and God. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. We stay together. That's how we obey him. And then the last thing is that we obey no matter what. No matter how crazy it seems, whatever God would seem to ask, the answer is yes. You may not know why, you may not know how, but if the cloud lifts and he moves, it's not, let me think about that. Let me see if that's what I... The answer is yes. We can walk with God. We really can. We can recognize his presence. We can wait for him. And we can get up and follow him or just stay put. As long, listen very carefully to this, as long as your answer to whatever he asks you, before you even know what it is yes. We're going to share communion now. Jesus says this is his body and his blood. Could I have the ushers come forward while I introduce this? Jesus says this is his body and his